It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling so I feel so good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody, to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with you for the full hour, along with Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, and, of course, Dr. Bob Denny, our PGA of America historian emeritus. We're going to have all three of us going and going and going at it. It's all our great golf, and then I'm going to do a very, very, very special part of this episode, making it extremely special in that Graham Baxter is going to join us a little bit later in the show. You may know Graham Baxter as one of the great golf artists out there. He has commissions from clubs all over the world, and he'll weigh in on some of the most notable ones, and we'll talk a little bit about his work and how he goes about doing his work. But we're going to get started right now. Lots to talk about. We've got a senior open championship that finished up. We've got Scottie Scheffler finished for the fifth time in second place, not able to close, although giving us thrills on the weekends for sure. And then, of course, the young 21 years young Jackson Koivun winning on the PGA Tour, his first win, but only in three starts. Craig, going to start with you. What about being on the PGA Tour and having three starts only, 21 years old, and you win your first one at the 3M yesterday? What about that? Very impressive.
What a talented young man. Put together four very nice rounds, had some major winners breathing up his neck, and he went out and shot a very good final round, which, you know, is a challenge we've seen and we've talked about over many weeks of people that go out and shoot par in the final round. And whether it's a golf course set up that way or not, you know, he went out there and shot, you know, five under. So give that young man quite a bit of attaboys. And, you know, he built up quite a big lead going into that with that 61 on Saturday. So, once again, not taking anything away from him, but he played a very good round of golf on Sunday and, you know, won by three strokes. That's a very solid win.
I'll tell you, Bob, you look at it and you don't see Jackson Koivun coming along very often, do you?
No. He impressed the heck out of me. The way he is cool, calm, the way he attacked the ball, the way he made big putts, par saving putts that could have easily disrailed, had him off the rails, but he just continued to be so secure out there. I thought he reminded me a little bit of a Johnny Miller, the way he attacks that ball from the fairway. He just really looks solid to me in all levels. And I found out one interesting stat. He's the youngest on tour to win by multiple shots since Ralph Guldal in 1932. I thought that's quite a stat.
Okay, now give us that piece of history again. Ralph Guldal, and I vaguely remember that name. I know he's one of the great ones in history, but from long ago for everybody listening. You're saying that Jackson Koivun is the youngest person since Ralph Guldal to win by multiple shots?
That's right.
Huh. That's an interesting stat. I don't know where you pulled that. Where did he get that, Craig? Bob, you come up with some stuff that's great. I love it. Well, here's a young man that has been, I think, somewhat privileged, somewhat able to access and play the game, somewhat a person who has been groomed and groomed for a long time. And I don't know that I'm so surprised at his success. I am a bit surprised that it came within three starts on the PGA Tour. That is a little surprising. And when you've got Scottie Scheffler dogging you and playing the kind of golf Scottie played, but for the 70 in round two, Scottie would have been right there. There would have been a big challenge. But for him to win by 3 strokes and over world number one, Scottie Scheffler, who again thrills us on the weekend, 64, 63, but doesn't close, Craig. What is up with Scottie?
Well, I don't want to say he didn't close. He wasn't winning at all. So it's not like he had the ability to close. Closing, in my opinion, is you were winning and you failed to win. He was behind yesterday, and he was able to close the gap a little bit, but he wasn't able to come back from that much. So once again, as I said the other day and the week before that, I think it shows how hard it is to win no matter what the competition is out there. He's playing good golf. He just isn't able to win right now. I mean, what's he got? 5 second places now or something like that? So, yes, I know he would like to have all those be wins as we would be as far as being able to talk about him and having one of the greatest seasons again of all time. But he's still number one in the world. It's still very sizable, his lead over the number two person in the world. And there's not anybody who would you say you'd rather be hitting the golf ball or doing anything right now. It's still Scottie Scheffler.
Oh,
So
yeah.
it's not like anybody is overtaking him right now.
No, I don't think they're going to overtake him as world number one.
Well, just in general. I mean, I know Cam Young played very well, and Fox played very well the week before, but they're still over the byproduct of the year. Who would you say has played better this year than Scottie Scheffler? Goddard has more wins, but he's still not as consistent. Would
So
you want
who?
Goddard? Would you want Goddard playing this week or Scottie Scheffler? I'd still take Scottie.
Well, I would take Scottie Scheffler, of course. Of course, I would. He's more of our, well, he's world number one. He's marquee player. So, are you voting for Scottie Scheffler as player of the year?
No, that's a different vote. To me, a different vote at the end of the year, it's who has the most wins, in my opinion.
And who will that be, do you think? Dr. Bob, let me go to you.
Well, right now it's isn't it Fitzpatrick, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Goddard? Isn't that the way at this point,
Yeah, I
based
think
on
they
the
both have
wins?
three, I think, right?
So you
But and
think if you.
the PGA of America has the Player of the Year formula, where it's wins, and it's also stroke average, and it's comes down to, just those kind of things enter into it, and how you perform in the majors. Obviously, they give you the extra points. So, it's a mixed bag this year, and as Craig accurately tallies it. But when you look at consistency, the consistency, I think it's still Scottie Scheffler for 68, something like that, for a scoring average. He's still right up there, and he's very consistent with that. It's just when he's not putting and lights out or consistently making birdie putts, everybody says, "Oh, so what's wrong with Scotty?" Well, we're spoiled. We're spoiled. We watched a lot of great golf from him.
I don't think he's tired. I don't think that he has lost his passion at all. I think that he has thrilled us, and he has had an amazing last couple of 3 years, call it. And he's in that, I think he's in that position where he's playing great golf on the weekends, and I don't want to use the word close because Craig, I think you bring up a good point. He wasn't leading too close, but he was charging. I think that's a better word. Scotty was charging, but Koivun hung on to the lead, and he shoots a 66. So you can't take anything away from that young man on a time where he could have folded like a paper bag with world number one, and only he 21 years old, 3 starts on the PGA Tour. You've got world number one charging right behind you. I mean, he could have folded. He wasn't anywhere near folding anything with a 66, Craig.
No, and he's not giving up, using the old idea of Tiger, what you used to do. You're out there, you're playing, you try to make birdie on every hole, and you keep going. And Scotty's doing that, and he's putting it together. I said, he very easily could have won that tournament, a little bit of luck here or there, but he didn't. And like he said, a little bit of luck here or there, he's got another two victories or something like that. He doesn't have the titles this year, and it doesn't mean that he won't go on a streak now and win something through the FedEx Cup or win two of the next five or whatever it is.
Yeah, we're gonna
So
look at schedules.
it doesn't mean that at the end of the day, he still doesn't have four or five wins by the end of the year. And then we look back to this conversation in July and go, huh, look how silly that was. Yeah, he can still run away with this. So it's not like the season's over.
Well, if you go on sheer wins, the two players we've mentioned, yes, they're there, but I don't know that you just go on that. I would like to see more to it. Yes, the stroke average and all that. They'll factor it all in, but I don't know. I still think that Scottie Scheffler is going to be right there for player of the year. I really think he will be. Well, let's find out. He's got to win some golf tournaments. He's got time to do it. Hey, he might be a little bit tired. Here he comes in right after the Open Championship, jumps right into the 3M. And there you go. Now, I wanted to also bring up Koivin had his mother at home watching. His dad was there. And I thought that that place was going to erupt, Bob. They just absolutely love this young man. It seems like he is walking into a marquee reputation. Literally from the get, it's almost another, not like Tiger Woods, but it's kind of a bit of a hello world for Jackson Koivin right now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Last year, folks, he was the number one amateur in the world last year. And he was 206 in the world coming rankings coming into this event on his third start. And now he's 73rd in the world rankings, just like that. And he's got a pretty good darn record when it comes to teams. He was on the winning Junior President's Cup, the winning Arnold Palmer Cup, and the winning Walker Cup. So put him on a cup team.
Well, you've got to wonder, does he get into the President's Cup, Craig?
Not that fast for maybe.
Yeah, that would be really quick. I think if he plays really, really well over the next month and a half. Yeah, okay, you're looking at him. Doesn't mean he will, but it wouldn't be a bad idea or something like that. It depends how he plays over the next few weeks.
Right.
Well, Scottie Scheffler was very complimentary and very gracious, as he always is about pretty much everything. I just absolutely just think the world of Scottie Scheffler. And anytime somebody else wins, I'm very happy and congratulatory for them. But I'm also a little bit disappointed that it wasn't Scotty. And so this year is especially interesting so far. Let's see what he does. Now, we had an amazing, wonderful event happening over in Scotland. Dr. Bob, what happened over there with one of the Champions Tour standouts over the years, Jerry Kelly?
Well, Jerry Kelly at Glen Eagles finished 10 under to win by two over Matt Gogel, Darren Fichart, and Cameron Percy, all at 8 under. Zach Johnson tied for seventh. Jerry, this is his third senior major championship. His victory finished 270 for 4 days, three straight 68s for the last 54 holes. I'm happy for him. He's a Wisconsin man. I'm from Iowa, so I kind of tend to see the love the Midwest guys when they do well, feel good for him. And he looked very comfortable out there on a golf course that is never easy to play.
Well, let's talk about it, Craig. Did you have a look at the tournament over the weekend at all?
I was not able to watch any of it, but Jerry is that event in a lot of ways is made for Jerry Kelly. They're not going to go too deep. He can play good solid golf, make some putts here and ride some emotion, and that's what he did. And I think that's great. Played very solid golf for 4 days.
Who's the player that took his shoes off because they said that there was spike marks on the green And somebody else made comments that he was kind of upset with aimpoint putting. Craig, did you see that about Lucas Glover?
I
Because
did.
it
I did.
ultimately turned out to be kind of a comedic moment, but go ahead and tell us about it.
Oh, well, the only thing I read is that Lucas Glover was, people have complained about him and his spike marks, which, he's one of the few that wear metal spikes still out there. There's quite a few that periodically do, and if your greens get soft, they spike up. And so, we took him off to make sure he wasn't leaving any spike marks, which is kind of a funny thing to do. So, pretty interesting.
Well, you talk about shoes and spikes. I've got to mention something from the wonderful Squares Golf Shoe Company, Squares, Squairz, who's bringing us this segment. How would you like one pair of shoes, everybody, for the first tee, the practice range, the simulator, the clubhouse, dinner after you, after the your round? Wherever golf takes you, you've got Squares Golf Shoes, brand new, spikeless. Pro S2 championship pedigree, everyday versatility. The Pro S2 spikeless golf shoe. You can get yours right now. You want to go to squares.com. I'll be talking much more about Squares and this new Pro S2 spikeless golf shoe. And you'll be seeing them on my social media, as well as some of their new advertisements, of course, for television coming up. Squares, Squairz. Thank them for being a longtime, very special sponsor on this very special show today. And congratulations to Bob Winskowitz, the founder and CEO of Squares, as he continues to develop and shape the golf shoe market the Squares way. All right. Well, now, Rory McIlroy coming back into our focus. And I don't know, did you gentlemen have a chance to have a look at the article that they wrote with him and quoted him on several various topics, but mainly about wanting to spend more time with his wife and his daughter? Who could ever fault a husband and a father for wanting to spend more time, especially the grueling travel that these golfers go through? And with Rory, it's global. Who could ever fault them for wanting more time with their family? I'm certainly never would never do that. I am interested, though, in some of the comments in the article. Bob, did you have a look at that?
Yes, I've seen that in different form on different platforms. That was one of them that you're referring to.
Craig, I don't know. Did you get a chance to look at that?
I've seen a little bit of it, yes, and the same idea as Dr. Bob. Seeing little comments here and there.
Well, the thing that I like about it is you had a very, very, and this is Rory McIlroy. He's very, very open. He doesn't mince words. When he has a, when he has something to say, you're going to get it, and you're probably going to get it straight up. And these quotes that were in at least this particular article that I wrote from the Irish Star, wanting to give them proper recognition. It made me really pause as to what's going on with the PGA Tour. And some of the remarks in there, it sounds to me from Rory that he is mainly interested in focusing on family and playing some golf, but nowhere near in the locations or at the pace that he has played in the past. It sounds to me, guys, that Rory has reached a pinnacle in the pinnacle of his career. Anybody would consider anybody's career would this would be a pinnacle in that he is now the career Grand Slam winner. He won the Masters back to back. He has achieved about everything there is out there to achieve. And I don't know that Rory has all of that burning passion inside him at this point anymore. Where am I going wrong, Craig?
I have a I Rory is a very selfish player. He's going to do whatever heck he wants. He feels like he's reached a pinnacle, and he'll play when he wants to play. And if they're going to call him out and change rules for him, then that's fine, or he won't play. He's making money other places. He doesn't really care whether or not what the PGA Tour rules are right now. Sounds a lot like people that went for LIV right now. I know it sounds terrible, but I really don't see him that concerned with the PGA Tour. He got the higher prices. He's made his money. He's got his majors. He doesn't care what goes on right now.
Yeah. Bob, what's your take?
I watch his body language when he misses shots and misses putts. Doesn't look like he's it's gonna, it just fluffs it right off his shoulders real easy. He just lopes along and keeps in the mix, so to speak. And I thought this one quote that he used earlier to the Irish Star: as long as I'm in the top 30 going into the Tour Championship, and then I'm in a decent spot still in the race to Dubai, well, that's, it's sort of so hard, so try to hard play until the end of the season, and then to try to win one or both of those. So he's not, it's not earth shaking to him. And that's where his body language looks to me too.
Well, he's planning on, according to the article, to take an extended break, spend time with his wife and his daughter ahead of the FedEx St. Jude Championship, getting into the playoffs and onto the FedEx Cup, having won his second Masters title, the article goes on, and defending his 2025 crown. The world number two has admitted he did not take enough time to celebrate that Masters win. Now, we're months away from that Masters win. What do you mean you didn't take enough time to celebrate it? And what would you have done to celebrate it, Craig? Can you guess what he might be talking about?
No, I don't. But I really don't feel like the Masters essentially kicks off golf season. So I don't care who you are, whether it's Jack Nicklaus, Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, it essentially kicks off golf for the season. Most players are not going to take enough time to celebrate that when they got three more majors coming up. I don't know how you can do that.
Bob, he said that his enthusiasm for playing on the PGA Tour has waned. And I think with all of the changes going on with the tour, I think with the, you know, the two-tier system, I think with all the global travel, I think he is at a position in his career, Craig, I think you hit it right on. He is going to play his schedule his way when and where he wants to. But my follow-up question is, if Rory doesn't stay week in and week out tournament sharp, you know, he was what, tied for 40th and was one over par at the Open Championship there to finish it up. If he doesn't stay week in and week out tournament tough, how can he compete on the world's biggest stage at these majors, Bob?
Well, that's the sort of the conundrum that goes along with a lot of players that have had success, and they don't, how well they pace themselves from week to week. I remember when Jack Nicklaus is in his prime, he wasn't playing over 21 events on his average. He was spacing them out, but he was a different type of athlete at that time than most what you see right now. That's totally different competition wise, and they're not showing these kind of scores like you saw over the weekend on most of those tournaments back then. But what I will say is that every athlete has a pace to themselves, and I've noticed this over the generations. And you sort of wonder, you know, have they reached their level of enthusiasm, or is it just comes only where they can space it out between the major championships?
I think there's a very rare player, and we could probably name them on one hand in history, that can maintain the passion, the fever, the intensity, the grind, and the amazing play after you have accomplished so much, like Rory. I think you lose something, Craig. You lose that flaming passion that you had a few years ago. But now that you have achieved greatness, what else is there?
Well, I mean, but see, this to me, this is just what the PGA Tour thought they what all the once again the argument that you and or not argument, but the discussion you and I have had over the last 5 or 6 years with Liv and all this stuff that's been going on is this is what the players want. And it's not what the players want. The Liv players went somewhere else because that's not what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so now they've got all these tournaments and they got all these tournaments that are paying $20, $25 million. And they got all these good players that are skipping them. Well, but this is what the players wanted. No, it's not. Okay? It's not what they wanted. Rory's not traveling any more now than what he was traveling 5, 6, 10 years ago. He's not. He's not flying any over. They don't like the schedule. They don't like it. They didn't like it when they knew they had one big event every month. That was really nice. They could plan for that. They could get ready for it. When you put all these signature events, we got two back-to-back right after the Masters. They don't want that. They never wanted it. Mm-hmm. But that's what they were told. This is what we were told is what the players want. They want it.
Well, and then there's rules from the PGA Tour that you have to play in so many events, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not what they want. And when these players, what they've done is they figured out, hey, I've made $250 million. I have my money invested in other places. I'm making money off the golf course. Why do I have to travel, do this, 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 and do all this? That's not what they want. So guess what? They're going to start skipping events. Rory now is has a lot of leverage because he's won 30 times. Now, there's not many people that have won 30 times in the PGA Tour, which means now that he's won 30 times, he doesn't have to play the minimum number of events now. Okay, that's a leverage thing for him. That's great.
Here you look at it. He's got a young daughter and his wife, of course, so family, friends. He has all sorts of off-the-course business interests going on. He's – who knows how much money he has, but it's been rumored to be up around $500 or $600 million. I don't know, but it's a lot of money. So money is nowhere, anywhere the issue at all. He'll always be able to pay the light bill. Let's leave it there. He's got legacy money. But he said, Poppy's got it. This is his daughter. Poppy's got another 4 weeks off of school until she goes back, sort of middle to end of August. So just go and enjoy the summer holidays with her and Erica, his wife. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to the most. He then went on to say, quote, obviously, I'll get back to playing and still in a decent position, I guess, in both title races. As long as I'm in the top 30 going into the Tour Championship, and then I'm in a decent spot still in the race to Dubai. So try to play hard until the end of the season, then try to win one or both of those. Interesting that he thinks he can win one or both of those coming back after taking off at least 2 to 3 weeks is what he says. For summer vacation with the family. So is Scottie Scheffler really that good, Bob?
Yes, and you echoed the quote I was reading earlier about Rory, because that's exactly what he thinks he can. I think he can bounce right back into it. I don't think that's the way he is right now, to be honest with you. But I just believe that those out there who are chasing these guys and chasing that dream of being in the elite group, they're hungrier. They show it on the golf course much more readily and so forth. And I just think that's why you're seeing some of these scores coming out, because these guys are really showing their talents regardless of what kind of golf course you're playing. They're hungry out there.
Well,
the guys you've never heard of before.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, I also think, and I'm not disagreeing with anything that anybody's saying about Rory's hunger, but as I said, the PGA Tour has constructed this way. It would be very interesting to see if they had had the schedule back in 2000, 2001, when Tiger in his heyday, how many events he'd be playing and what would he be doing right now?
But
because
Craig, if
he
the player,
he didn't want to play a ton of events either.
But if it's right. if it's as you say, and the players really don't want this and they don't like the schedule, why don't they stand up and say, we're not doing this?
Who's saying they're not? I mean,
well, we're not hearing that. We're not hearing that they're standing up and telling, you know, Rolap and the whole PGA Tour board and all of them. They're not.
Who have you heard that says, "Oh my God, I like this new schedule"? Who have you heard?
No, I don't know that we've heard anybody say that. But we're not. But we're not hearing anybody, you know, put in the big debate.
But
I think
you know, I mean,
when Tiger, I was going to interrupt it, when Tiger
no.
won the World Golf Championships over the year, they certainly weren't together, were they, Craig? They were
No.
spaced out. They were spaced
Yeah,
out.
spaced out all over the place. I mean,
Yeah.
this is the complaint or worry that people that do television, and I've heard this before, they're worried that the NFL's doing the same thing. It used to be that there was a game on Sunday and Monday, and then you had 5 days to talk about. Now they got football games, especially NFL games, almost 3, 4, 5 nights a week now. And it's like, well, if you're going to see it every night, is it that big of a deal? Is it that big? They see it over the next week. If you start running it all the time, it doesn't have the specialness. And
Well,
that's what golf is struggling with. This isn't a signature event. Great. And then this is a major of the week afterwards, and then it's another signature event. What makes it so special? It's not. And that's a problem. And you're having the players go, I want to be off that week. I don't want to play in the signature event. I don't care how much money they're paying me.
Craig, I don't want you to let anything, don't hold anything back. Let us know exactly how you feel. We found something that Craig Renshaw is passionate about, and I'm agreeing with every word. Rory went on explaining to reporters that his interest in the PGA Tour schedule, and notice they said PGA Tour schedule. They didn't say the PGA Tour, they said PGA Tour schedule in this article, sort of ebbs and flows, with him admitting the tour does not get him as fired up as it used to. There's been years where I've given the PGA Tour maybe more of my attention and years that I haven't. Yeah, I guess I'm just at a stage that I have some other things that I prioritize. Again, the PGA Tour is in a lot of flux at the minute with a lot of their schedule and structure and everything like that. So I think the change where it doesn't matter where you are in the top 30 going into the Tour Championship. It's like I just need to be in the top 30 going in there to have a chance to win the FedEx Cup. So why would I care about the first two? I sort of came to that decision last year, and I'm just sort of doing the same thing. End quote. Bob, wow.
Yeah, I agree that.
Well, I
Wow.
mean,
Craig, go.
golf has a unique challenge, or the PGA Tour has a unique challenge. In that the greatest things in golf are the majors. And unfortunately, PGA Tour has nothing to do with the majors. So then they created the PGA Championship, or the then they created the Players Championship. Okay, and now we talk about it every year come March. Oh, is it a major and all that kind of stuff. And that worked well, and it's a great tournament, and the players love that event. But how many players do we? And then they created the playoffs because golf needed a playoff system like NASCAR. That's what they were. It made it more exciting. Does anybody see that it's more exciting? And what they tempted everybody to say is because golfers weren't making enough money, it's all about the money. It's about the $10 million annuity, and it's all about. How many times can we keep doing this? The players don't really care about it. They just don't. I mean,
Absolutely.
is anybody saying, "Hey, I won the FedEx Cup twice, and but I didn't win any majors"? No, nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Well, if you go down the line of the players that have won the FedEx Cup over the years, folks listening, and Bob, you can help us out with this, and we don't need to do it now, but certainly when we get to the playoffs in the FedEx Cup, we will do this. There are some really, really, let's just say, interesting names that have been the FedEx Cup champion over the years, and some of them you would not even expect. There may even be some of them you don't even recognize. So it's the FedEx Cup is what it is, and I know the PGA Tour and the massive sponsorship of FedEx, but I don't know where that's headed, and I would love for Craig. You to speculate right now, where do you think the FedEx Cup sits in the PGA Tour and all of the leadership, the players, and all that in their minds? Does everybody out there at the PGA Tour and the players, do they love, big love, the FedEx Cup or eh?
If you are 100th on the money list, the FedEx Cup matters to you. If you are a top 20 player in the world, I don't really think it matters to you at all.
Well,
I mean, do you look forward to it, Ray? Dr. Bob, do you, I mean, is it really something you go, oh my God, I know it's going to be great golf and on great golf courses. I'm sorry, I'll be honest. East Lake bores the heck out of me. Okay, great. I don't see East Lake as being some great golf course. They've sold it on, well, it's Bobby Jones's great golf. Okay, great. Not, unfortunately, Bobby Jones is a great golfer. Doesn't mean everything the man touched with golf was great. Sorry.
All right, we've got to go to a break. And when we come back, we have a very special guest that's going to be joining us. It might be interesting not just to talk about his work, but also a little bit about some of his thoughts on these matters as he is in and around golf clubs and golfers worldwide. And when we come back, Craig, can't wait for you to weigh in on a couple more important things. We're going to look at the schedules late in the show. And well, this has been a rousing discussion. We've had listeners that have sent questions about what we're talking about right now. And I'm going to go out right now for a little bit of a break. And I want everybody to have a listen to these very important and special sponsors. They'll help you change your game. They'll help you improve your game. They'll help you play better, have more fun. Stay with me, and I'll be back in just a moment right here on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. So good.
Hi, Graham.
Hey, how are you? Can you talk?
Yeah, for just a second, because we're in a break
Okay.
time right now, and they'll put it all together after I send the show up to them. Dr. Bob Denny is with us,
Okay.
PGA of America's historian emeritus, Craig
Right.
Renshaw. Craig Renshaw. Is our noted PGA of America lifetime member
Okay.
instructor. And we've been talking a lot about Rory McIlroy and some of his recent comments about not being so fired up about the PGA Tour and the schedule. We went over Jackson Koenigwedden. We've talked a little bit about Scottie Scheffler. So we've given due propers to Jerry Kelly winning at Glen Eagles. And I know that
Yeah,
you
well
have a.
done, Jerry.
Yeah. So when we come back from the break here in just a moment, we will all three be, and I will introduce you. And Graham, how would you like me to introduce you?
Well, just Graham Baxter, international golf artist. I don't know.
I will. I'll take care of it. I have some words, but I wanted to hear you. Okay, guys,
Yeah.
we're all coming back here in.
I'm gonna, Ray, I gotta leave at the 55.
Okay, so you've got. You've got about 10
10 minutes.
minutes.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's come in, let's talk a little golf, and then we'll let you go, maybe even before that, because I want to get in with
Okay.
Graham now and make
Yeah.
sure I give him a full 15 minutes to talk. So
Absolutely.
let's come back from break, and maybe we'll take one more question, or we'll
Okay.
cover one more little topic, and then you can take off.
Perfect.
All right, we're coming back in 3, 2. Greetings and welcome back, everybody, on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with Dr. Bob Denny, Mr. Craig Renshaw, and we're going to be joined by a very special guest in this special episode of the Golf Lifestyle Show. I also want to thank Tour Edge Golf while we're talking about some of my wonderful sponsors, Tour Edge at touredge.com. And you know, the technology and the playability of these golf clubs, the affordability, the fact that they're made right there, assembled and put together and shipped out of the Chicagoland area here in the USA. There's everything about Tour Edge. Tim Clark, the president, David Glaude, the founder and the master designer. I just cannot tell you how impressed I am after all these years of talking about and being an ambassador for, advertising for, and having Tour Edge on the show with me over these years, how much more impressed I even am today than I have been over the years. Everything they're doing, including their new wonderful look, you've got to go to touredge.com. And then I have to thank another one of my very longtime sponsors, and that is CertaFresh Cigar. CertaFresh Cigar in 3,000 golf shops all over the country and growing. They can customize their individual humidified tubes where world-class cigars go in those for corporate outings, nonprofit outings, and of course for your golf shops. You want to contact CertaFreshCigar.com about that. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to go over a few of my anthem only, where I ask you to keep your dollars local, no matter what town you live in. I call it anthem only because I'm emanating the show from the North Phoenix area where I live in the anthem area. All right, we're back with Craig Renshaw and Dr. Bob. You two guys really have put it out there as to what you're feeling like, but I want to maybe clear it up a little bit here as we come in nearing the end of the show and before our next wonderful guest. Do you think that the PGA Tour, Craig, has a lot more change to make before the players are happy? And maybe you can light a little bit more of a fire under some of the players that are, well, drifting a bit from the corral?
Yes.
And what would that change be or changes?
Well, everything is an ebb and flow. I think golf courses have gotten very
That's what Rory
stale.
said.
I things have gotten very stale. They're all the same. We created these wide golf courses. You drive it anywhere and all this stuff. I think golf courses have gotten very stale. I think they're boring in a lot of cases. Golf courses and places are judged by, well, how many corporate tents can we get in? Okay, I think that has come back to bite the PGA Tour. As I've said for many years since LIV started, the PGA Tour has been judged by, hey, our purses went up $2 million this year. Great. That I don't know if that's necessarily the only way to judge things, but that's what the PGA Tour is always judged on. Hey, our tour revenue was this year it's this, that's got to be better. Well, especially when you're making the money that a lot of these players are right now, it's not. That's what they're telling you. No, I'd rather have a few more weeks off. I'd rather have a schedule. I'd like to have the old days where I was done in October and I don't play golf again till January or February. Yep, not anymore. We want to play all the time.
Bob, 20 seconds, Bob, to respond to Craig and to weigh in. And when I say weigh in, I mean clarify. Where do you think, what do you think they're going to do to bring the passion back? Because I think fans, viewers, listeners to golf, they want to go play the game, and they're doing that in wonderful numbers. And especially the ladies are leading the pack in the growth of the game, and young people and the clinics and, you know, young boys and girls and all of that. I look at girls golf and what's going on there, and I look at the first tee. So golf is in a great place in that way, and it has been. I think the LPGA Tour is in a great place too, by the way, and we'll mention them late in the show, Bob. But 10 seconds to respond. I think something's got to give with the PGA Tour.
I think the economic model is disjointed right now. I really feel that it's, I'm looking at a lot of different things, and I'm looking at the people that are not in the stands and looking at the stands that were built for those locations on television. And the cameras are not shooting in the stands and shooting many of those panoramics. You know, there's obviously at the majors and some bigger events, there's people there, but you're not seeing that week to week type of thing. And I just feel that money has glossed over, and the price, the prize money has glossed over. And I think it's become its own little cloud sometimes that unfairly treats it, when in fact the game and the grind out there to be successful on is still there. The grind and the passion is there, but I just don't see that transcending everywhere.
Mm-hmm. All right, Craig Renshaw has got to get back to what he does the best. And Craig, we thank you so very much for joining. Craig, we'll be with you this coming Saturday on Great American Golf. And we've got another big week. We'll be right in the middle of it on the weekend. And we'll probably continue this discussion many more times. Craig, thank you so much for joining today.
Thanks, Ray.
Can you imagine being awarded the British Empire Medal by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II? Can you imagine being a world-renowned golf artist? Can you imagine capturing the beauty of golf landscapes in original oil paintings and in low-volume G-Clay editions? Can you imagine coming from Scotland, your birthplace? You discovered your love of drawing. It was followed by your love of the game of golf. And together, your talents brought you to become Graham Baxter.
Oh, my goodness. What an introduction, Ray. I've never had that introduction before, but you know what? I'm taking it.
Yes, sir. Graham, welcome to the show. You're joined by Dr. Bob Denny. I already introduced you to during our break.
Yes,
indeed. And Graham, I've got to tell you, I've been to Scotland. I've been to St. Andrews, played the course, the old course.
Yeah.
And my great grandparents are from the Kingdom of Fife.
Oh, perfect.
So much so, around the Dundee area and near the Ool Grey Toon, they're scattered in and around over there. And I absolutely love it. And when we very first traveled there on a rickety, clickety, clackety Brit Rail many long years ago when we were in Paris, and we went to what is it, King's Cross Station, where you catch the Eurostar.
Yeah.
And we did this, and we absolutely, I said, if I'm this close, I've got to go to St. Andrews. And long story obviously ensues there, and I could go on forever, and I'm not going to, but I'm so appreciative of your art. And I grew up in the art business, Graham.
You did.
My mother owned one of the most iconic and prominent art galleries here in Scottsdale, Arizona, for 43 years only.
Oh, wow.
And I have some amazing art and that I've acquired, along with some beautiful golf art. And I could only hope one day I would be able to sport a Graham Baxter G-Clay, maybe here in my little golf studio at some point.
On its way, Ray.
Which is being completely, it's being completely remodeled and redone, because while we record the audio to these shows, we don't at this point record the video, but we do video so we can see each other. Okay. And Dr. Bob, I don't know. I know you've looked up a Graham Baxter, and Graham, I want to go right to you now and talk a bit, but please, Bob, jump in. The way you golf artists go about your business, your trade, your skill, you have to be a professional photographer, don't you? Beyond drawing, sketching, and then the painting itself in the oils that you do, you've got to be a wonderful, wonderful photographer, because that's pretty much where it all starts, isn't it?
Well, you're right in a way, but I don't see myself as a professional photographer. But one of the things I've got as against other professional photographers is finding the composition. There's a lot of people, many, many people can take great photographs. But for me, I will go around a course over a period of 3 days, and I will find an area within about 10 square feet that's going to be the optimum image for that painting. And that's the secret. It might be 4 feet up a ladder with a little bit of elevation, but yeah, I don't believe I'm a professional photographer. I see compositions rather than just the image.
Well, I guess maybe that was a poor choice of words is using professional because other companies and people and all that probably don't hire you to be their photographers, but you certainly employ it and use it at the very core of what you're accomplishing. And then from there, you take these photographs back to your studio and you begin to do the sketching and the pencil work and all that sort of thing, I'm supposing. And we're right finished up with Jerry Kelly winning at Glen Eagles, the Senior Open Championship. And I'd like you to make a couple of comments about that and Jerry Kelly, whom I'm presuming that you likely know, but certainly you are commissioned by these great golf courses, known and many unknown to the vast, majority of people. And they commission you. Pay you, it's how you make your living, to create this masterpiece for their clubs. And you've done Glen Eagles, correct?
Many times I was a member of Glen Eagles for maybe 15, 18 years when I lived in Scotland. Now live in Texas, Scottish, but not crazy, as they say.
Boy,
And
going from Scotland to Texas, that's a pretty
yeah, how
big
about
deal.
that? Well, I actually started off in Palm Springs. I'm a member of Mission Hills Country Club, where I used to play in the Craft Nabisco every year with the defending champion, which was incredible because I would present the defending champion the year before with Ajit Clay, and then I got to play with her the following year, which is great. So, ladies' tour, absolutely. Women's tour, I totally support, and I think they're wonderful. And there's more fun playing in the pro-am and the women's tour than it ever was in the men's tour, and I did that many times in the
And
European
why
tour.
is that? Because I agree with you.
100%.
Dr. Bob and I are huge fans of the LPGA Tour. We think they're the best story in golf globally right now, with all of the other, arguing and debating and waiting and, all the falderal going on with some of the other professional tours.
You know,
Live,
I think
go ahead.
Ray, it's a little bit because the women know exactly where the money comes from, the sponsors, and they appreciate that, and they appreciate the money more so than on the men's tour. And they will really interact with you when you play in the pro-am. We'll have fun with them the whole day. They'll walk with you, they'll talk with you, but they'll also come for lunch with you afterwards, which they never did in the men's tour when I played in the various pro-ams over the years in Morocco, Spain, and all these countries when I was when living in Europe.
Well, over the many years I've been doing my radio segments called Great Women in Golf, and that was before the explosion of growth of women in golf. I became well acquainted with and friends with Marilyn Smith, one of the 13 founders of the LPGA Tour. Marilyn taught me a thing or two, I'll tell you that. What a lovely, gracious, wonderful woman. Absolutely loved her and went to her funeral and shed a wee tear or two or more.
I bet you did.
And she was on this show many times, Graham. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to play with Nancy Lopez the
Oh,
very
yeah.
first time I played in the Craft Nabisco with Leslie Nielsen, the Canadian actor, crazy
Yeah.
man.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun. And I played with so many of the great champions over the years. And I did a couple of paintings of Paula Creamer and one of Annika Sörenström as
Oh,
well. I was
wow.
commissioned by Craft to do that.
Yeah.
But Ladies Tour, 100% support from me. I think they're a wonderful group of ladies that play on the tour, and just amazing.
Tell us about Glen Eagles. I want to go back to Jerry Kelly's big win, the Senior Open. And Bob, you had pointed out,
Sure. I got a couple of questions later.
I'm gonna go to you, but I want to go back to Glen Eagles, and I want Graham to give us his perspective of Glen Eagles, having been a member there, having painted the course numerous times. Let me start with your questions, Bob, and then Graham, I do want you to comment on Glen Eagles and what kind of a course Jerry Kelly really won on. Because you see it on TV, but it isn't like really being there and playing it. Go ahead, Bob.
I spent three different trips in 2023 to St. Andrews, Graham, and Every one of those, I was working on a book. But the thing that I was most interesting was how those golf courses, especially Old Course and all the surrounding golf courses, blend so well. Obviously with the weather, a lot of them, you can almost think they're like a long distance carpet that sort of moves together. But it's obviously an old carpet. But I was just wondering if you get the same feeling as an artist to look at the different, time of year, time of day, and then sort of come up with something that maybe you didn't think you were going to cut the first on canvas.
Well, I just came back from St Andrews. I was playing there on the new course, the Jubilee in Eden, last week, believe it or not. And the week before that, Ray, I was actually playing in the King's Course at Glen Eagles.
Okay.
So I've
So
got plenty to say about that. Regarding St
well, tell us
Andrews,
about it, because I've had so many people with this last Open Championship. And over the years, I always have people call me and they make comments. Boy, the links golf over there isn't very beautiful. It's brownish and it's dry and the wind is howling and the weather is, inclement, and it's not lush and emerald green like
absolutely.
carpet like over here in America. It's just not beautiful.
Well,
I
we don't
go
water
ahead.
the fairways though. It's simple as that. Where the greens are watered, we've got systems around the course now with a little bit of water for sure. But right now, the courses Eden and the Jubilee and the new course, they're all pretty brown, but that's the way links was played in all these years. It was very much, I mean, St Andrews was at one point a rabbit farm, which I don't know if you knew that or not, but
I don't know that I did know that. I didn't
yeah.
think I
And
knew
of
that.
course the new course was designed by old Tom Morris, I believe, and it's called the new course because it's only 100 and some years old.
Yes. That
But
we knew.
yeah, but the Glen, just going away from St Andrews, I played there for 3 days, three of the courses. I'm a member of St Andrews New Club, which is that's only 120 years old. That's why it's called the New Club. Well, I played at Glen Eagles pretty much 2 weeks before the event.
And what makes Glen Eagles different than the other courses there?
Well, Glen Eagles is very much a parkland course. It was designed by James Braid in around about 19, I'm going to say 12. I can't remember the date. But in these days, when they built these courses, James Braid would go out there with a horse and cart and a couple of guys and shovels and dig a hole, and there's your bunker. They used the natural terrain. They didn't have the equipment to move the dirt. They always used to have to work with the natural ground, very much as a lot of the top designers say they like to work with the natural terrain. Well, they're able to move stuff around where James Braid in his day could not do that. And the King's Course is a lot more elevation than it showed in TV. You go up the first and the King's, and there's several blind shots as well. And I just think for Jerry Kelly, who I know quite well, he's a wonderful character. He's a very funny, charismatic guy. He's actually got a couple of my pieces of art from about, I don't know, 20 some years ago when I met him at PGA West. But I'm so pleased he won yesterday. It was a wonderful thing to watch.
Well, we're going to try to get Jerry Kelly on. I've had all the Champions Tour players, DP World, the ladies on their tour, and of course, the LPGA Tour, and then of course the PGA Tour over the last 16 years. So many 185 episodes of my television show.
Holy moly.
Now, Bob, I want to go back to you because I know you've got another question or two.
Well, I just curious, Graham, what do you find in your travels that makes you have the most pleasure when it comes to capturing golf? Is there a special time, a special location, a special time of day, or a viewpoint? I'm just curious about that.
No, you're absolutely right to ask that question. When I get commissioned to do a painting, right now I've been commissioned by 65 of the world's top 100 courses over the last 40 years. And as Ray mentioned earlier, I've never worked a day in my life. That's 40 years of pleasure. But when I go to a club, I look at the course, and I'll be there for 3 days, and I'll be photographing morning and evening because at that time of the day, the light is lower, and you can see the undulations and the character and the shape of the fairway and the bunkers and the greens. And if you were to photograph middle of the day, everything's very flat. So it's very much the morning time that I morning and evening, and I don't do
Wow.
anything midday. And I do that over a period of 3 days, and then I present a short list of images back to the club that I think. But there is one thing you asked me earlier, Ray, about photography. Unlike photographers, I'll do a single shot using my iPhone, which is basically the composition of my canvas. Then I use my professional camera and I'll go one, two, three, four, five, six across. And I will print these out without altering the color in my computer. And I slice them all together. And guess what? The middle one is the correct color. So I don't manipulate colors on my computer. My canvases are all different. Every one of my canvases is a different color because I don't work with the same palette. And I think that's important in terms of when you're saying photography. It's very important for me to get the actual color of the course that I'm painting because everyone's different. Like you said, the Lynx is very brown. Glen Eagles is very green because they do water that. Or if you go out to Long Island and you look at Noyac or Friar's Head, it's incredibly beautiful there. Lush fairways and lush rough, whereas St Andrews is just burnt and frazzled, and that's just the traditional way it is.
One of the listeners weighing in on the show want me to ask you, in your mind, is there a course that you painted that gave you fits? It was the most difficult painting that you remember ever doing. The course just made you crazy to get that piece of work finished.
Well, I hate to disappoint him, but it's really never difficult. But my big St Andrews painting that hangs in the old course hotel that took me 6 months. I unlike most artists, I don't use a pencil and draw it all in. I don't use a straight edge to do lines, but this is full of buildings, and I had to work all the just in my head how these buildings would look and get it as accurate as possible. That was very stressful. That took me 6 months. But in terms of a golf course with the landscape and things, I really it's pretty it seems to be pretty straightforward in my head.
You've been listening to Graham Baxter. He is one of the most celebrated and internationally known golf course artists. His work is displayed in, well, just an unimaginable number of clubs that have commissioned him to paint their course, as well as his work is at the Ryder Cup, the Open Championships, the President's Cup, PGA Tour, European Tour. And each piece reflects his passion and history for the game. So, Graham Baxter, thank you so much. And I want to go back to Bob and see if he has one more question for you.
Graham, I go back to one of the golf courses that really was sort of mystically a part of the golf rota for the world for the championships, the major championships. I go to Carnoustie. I wonder
Oh.
if you've had some great memories of Carnoustie.
Oh, most definitely. I did the official painting for the Open in 2007 when Padraig Harrington won. I did the one in 99 when Paul Laurie won. And I played there a few times. Very difficult course, I have to say. It's one of the hardest courses I've ever played. But the one in 2007, Padraig bought the original painting from me, which was great because I have the opportunity at that time as official artist to offer it to the R&A, to the club, and then to the winner, and then to whomever. And so we sold it to Padraig Harrington. He's got that original. Then he bought the Birkdale original the following year, which was pretty exciting. But Carnoustie, one of the greatest links courses out there, one of the hardest, I would say. And of course, Ben Hogan won there, and I had 54 round about then. I can't remember what year it was. And as you know, every great golfer's walked across that Swoken Bridge at St Andrews except one, and that's Ben Hogan. And Ben never got to play St Andrews. He won the Open at Carnoustie. The story is he had a car to take him across on the Monday to play golf at St Andrews. And the car never turned up. So he just took a train down to London over to France, never came back again, only played in one open and won one open.
That's
Yeah,
right. That's right.
wow.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a great piece of history, too. All right, Bob, let me give you the final word on Graham Baxter with a question for him or a comment. And then, Graham, I'm going to ask you, how golf clubs, individual people? How do they find your work, and how can they have a Graham Baxter in their home or their office or their club? Bob, you first.
Well, I look on your bio, Graham, and I see that when you were born in Scotland, that was the year that the PGA of America started its stroke play championship. I just wondered if you've had or ever have a chance to come to the and see the and work with the, at the PGA championship.
Yes, I did official painting for the PGA championship 1 year. It was at Kew Island. I think it was 2012. And I was commissioned to do the official painting that year, which was really cool. And I knew a lot of the PGA members and the PGA officials and over the years. But the PGA had an artist, and that's fine. They did their own thing. But I was official artist for the Ryder Cup for 27 years and official artist for the Open for 25. And, there was a variety of different artists in America, but I was the only exclusive artist in Europe to do all these things. But that's the only one I've did for the PGA, unfortunately. I was good friends of Jim and Jeannie. Do you remember Jim? I just forget what his name is. He was the PGA of America. Jim, I'll remember it in a minute. But
okay,
I've forgotten right
Jim,
now.
Jim Remy?
Nope.
PGA of America or the PGA Tour?
Now, PGA of America, yeah. Oh goodness.
It'll come to you. It'll come to you. It'll
lost
come to
the
you.
Plot there for a second, but
Graham, yeah, how do folks find you and bring you in for a commission if they're a club, or purchase your G Clays or an original piece of your artwork as truly one of the world's greatest and celebrated golf course artist?
Well, the easiest way to find me is just grahambaxter.com, my website, and contact me through there, and I will respond to you immediately. What I'm actually doing, and I'm finding I'm doing more of, more and more all the time, is centenary paintings for clubs, because therein lies a piece of history. One time an RNA member said to me, you've been doing the paintings for the Open for 25 years and you know what you've been doing. I said, yeah, painting the great courses. He said, no, you're recording golf history. And for me, that was a eureka moment. And
that's a beautiful thought. And I know Bob Denny here appreciates that. I studied history and taught history at the university for several years. So you are recording golf history. There's no question that you're doing that.
Little piece of golf history.
All right. I've got a question from a listener, and we're going to come back to how they find you in your website. But the listener wants to know, is there a particular trick or way or how do you paint the trees so that they look so real?
Ah, good question. Well, the traditional way of painting is very thin layers of paint, one on top of the other. I complete the whole sky blue before I even put the cloud formation in. Because when you paint the clouds together, the sky, it gets a bit muddy and a bit fuzzy. So I always work from the background forward, and then the trees go over. Say there's some buildings in the background. I complete these, then the tree goes over the top of that. And The difficulty with most artists is trees are not really brown, as you know. There's greens and blues and all sorts of lichen and all sorts on it. You have to just paint it in very thin layers and then build it up. And with oil painting, it's dark to light. So the tree will start dark and you build the light color of leaves on top of the dark color.
Uh-huh.
So it's dark to light with oil
painting. Do you
painting.
Use a wider brush and kind of push the leaves and branches into the because you can't paint every single one of the little
you got to get the tree, the bark and the trees and the branches first, and then you put on top of that the dark areas of the green with a kind of heavyweight brush, and then you start to a finer brush, you start to do the if the sun's coming from the left side, then that side of the tree is brighter, and you've got to give it a 3D feel. You can't make it just all the same color. So that's actually technically quite a tricky question to answer.
Well, my kids are in Texas, and my daughter and her husband and family, live in Frisco, outside of Dallas.
Yes, where the PGA headquarters is now.
PGA of America's home of the PGA of America right there now. Yeah. And then my other kids and grandkids live in Waco. So,
oh, wow.
And, of course, we go there to see them here and there along the time of the year.
Right.
So I would dream about maybe coming to your studio.
Yep.
Standing over your shoulder and watching you
well,
paint
I'm more
some
than
of these
for
trees.
You to do, that.
Do you ever let anybody watch you paint?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I sometimes have kids in and let them do a little bit, and then if it's not great, once they've gone, I'll just touch it up a little bit.
Uh-huh. Oh, good. Wonderful.
But I will let you have a shot at doing a piece of my painting.
Wow.
And just going back to what I was talking about, the PGA, good friends on the PGA, it was Jim and Jeannie Autry, if you remember them.
There we go.
Jim Autry, yes.
The long-time CEO.
Yeah. Yes, and we were great friends, and he was one of my first kind of collectors, but he couldn't really get me to become artist for the PGA because it was very much the commercial division of the PGA that were doing that type of thing.
Look, but a few politics involved in that, maybe? A few politics involved there?
Oh, I don't know about politics. I don't care about politics.
But anyway. Folks, you're listening to Graham Baxter, and you want to go to grahambaxter.com. That is where it all begins, but it doesn't end there. It just begins there because you will then be in touch with Graham Baxter. You spell that G-R-A-E-M-E, Graham,
yes.
G-R-A-E-M-E, the Scottish way to spell
the
Graham.
Scottish spelling, correct. Well done. Not many people know that.
There you go. And so grahambaxter.com is where you want to go. And you're going to see so many of his beautiful pieces of art there. And I'm going to ask you what an honor it was for you to receive from Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II the British Empire Medal. What distinction is that? BEM, the British Empire Medal.
Yeah,
that's a very rare award.
Yeah, pretty crazy and a bit surreal. And I had to wait up till midnight the night before to see if I was on that New Year's honors list because I'd been pre-warned, but I wasn't allowed to tell anyone. But whether it was, I didn't know if it was real because the gentleman phoned me from the Queen's office and said, you're going to be awarded by the Queen with the British Empire Medal. And I said, who is this? Is that you, Jimmy, on the phone? You winding me up, you know, and I'm not like that for 5 minutes before I realized it was all real. But the interesting thing was I was honored by the Queen, but she passed and I was presented by the King.
Okay. There you go. All right. You've been listening to Graham Baxter, and you want to go to grahambaxter.com, spelling it G-R-A-E-M-E, grahambaxter.com, and find out all about this wonderful, wonderful, celebrated artist of golf courses all over the world, and make sure that you become an owner of a Graham Baxter yourself. And Graham, final word for you.
Well, thank you, Ray. Your show is amazing. You're very much detail orientated and I love it. And I love the history that you bring in as well. And it's just a real honor to be on your show. And I will be painting golf courses for as long as I live. I will never retire. And I'm only doing about 10 a year, but 10 a year I shall carry on doing.
Isn't that wonderful? Well, you're a very young guy. You've got a long time to go. God has blessed you with an amazing talent. You have honed it and worked hard through the years to become truly a master. And that is coming very, very, I'm very serious about that. You are a master of what you do.
Well, thank you. And I have to say you're an exceptional host.
Well, thank you very much. From a couple of Scottish guys here, Graham, thank you for joining us today. And Bob, you and I have to finish up the show. We have a couple of things going on, and we will be back with Graham Baxter in the future. I'm sure he'll be willing to join us along the way as we contact him and invite him back on the show. So many different golf courses through the year will make me think, well, did Graham do one of these pieces of art? And then maybe we'll have Graham on for something big again. All right, Bob. What are the ladies up to? Let's have a quick look at the schedules.
They're headed to Royal Lytham St. Anne's for the sixth time this coming week for the Women's Open. The women's and it, the Royal Lytham St. Anne's.
I bet you Graham Baxter has done a piece of art from Royal Lytham and St. Anne's.
Absolutely. Yeah. Official painting for the Open. And I painted Lytham, I'm going to say, four times. I've got one of the originals in the Dormy House at Lytham as well.
Isn't that wonderful? And so many of the Open champions over the last 20 years have been on my television show with me, and I've come to know them, and great conversations with Sir Nick Faldo and Tom Lehman, and we could go right down the line of all of them. Can't wait to see Jerry Kelly and talk to him about this big win when I catch up to all of these players at the Schwab Cup Championship in Phoenix this fall. More about that later. So the ladies are having a little bit of a golf tournament over there, eh, Bob?
Well, they just finished up at the Scottish Open, and they're headed to Royal Lytham St. Anne's. It'll be the sixth time for their championship on that golf course, and it's going to be a very it's always going to be a great just to see how they handle the conditions of the course, because it's not going to be it's not going to be a warm and sunny type of day, but they have to deal with all kinds of different conditions, and Royal Lytham is always an excellent golf course, so it's going to be fun to watch.
European Tour, known as the DP World Tour. I think they're taking a little bit of a break now, and then they'll come roaring back with some great golf. I believe they go to Denmark for their
The
next.
Danish Open, yes.
Yeah, there you go. And then there'll be some more. We'll talk more about them as we go along too. And I'm sure Graham Baxter's probably painted a bunch of those courses over in Europe over the years. 40 years of painting. Isn't that amazing, Bob? And what skill? Few people in the world. You go to the opera and you hear these people sing opera, and you're hearing vocal history. You're a part of history when you go to the opera, because there's only a few people that can sing like this on the earth. And there's only a few people that can paint like Graham Baxter alive today. And so we're so privileged to have him on. All right. What are the guys doing now? I think we're going to go to, aren't we headed over to Portugal? The champions.
PGA Tour champions.
Yeah. And then we've got a 3M that was won, and we'll recap that Jackson Kooijman, the young 21-year-old phenom, won the 3M yesterday. Saying that again from the first part of the show today. And we congratulate him, beating Scottie Scheffler, who again for the fifth time this year falls into second place again. Don't forget that Jack Nicklaus had so many second places. Don't worry about Scottie. He's fine. He'll be fine. And so we're going to head to the Rocket Classic in my hometown of Detroit, Michigan, Bob. What do you know about that?
Well, the Detroit Golf Club has got a great history. Walter Hagen, Horton Smith, many others, has hosted, the Ryder Cup during the war. In fact, that's when they had exhibitions there. But it's always a great opportunity for thing. But it's going to be the last Rocket Classic, I think, that's going to be hosted there.
Well, and there's so many things changing, and we spent a long time in the show today talking about it. And yes, this show is going to be about 90 minutes, not 60 minutes. We're getting close, and I have a few sponsors to thank. But lots happening in the world of golf. Most of it is all good. Most of it is exciting, and we've got some great champions we've seen this weekend emerge in their big wins, and we've got the listeners that have weighed in with a few more questions. We had a hit show when we had Ed Gowan on last week, the rules official. And boy, did everybody love Ed Gowan and talking about the rules and the things that he had to say. And I know that you're working on getting a very, very special guest coming up, Angela Stanford. To join us, and you can tell us about Angela and introduce her when she comes on the air very soon. And I have invited Alan Solheim to join me, great friend of mine over the years from the Ping Company, to join us when we have Angela Stanford on, because she is the captain of the Solheim Cup. So we have all sorts of things happening, wonderful things happening in golf, and a great schedule to come. And I am going to say thank you, Bob, and give you the final word, 15 seconds.
Okay. I think once again, the word is patience and acceptance, and acceptance. And I like to
we love acceptance.
Accept the fact. I like the fact that we have a great bunch of talent coming in the game of golf, and it's fun to watch.
And folks, listen, and that's, I'm so glad you said that, Bob, because we as viewers, television viewers, we as fans going to events, we as listeners of radio podcast shows like this one and My Great American Golf every Saturday mornings and a host of others out there, we've got to realize that we cannot lose our interest in viewing and listening about the game because we don't know the players' names. We're in a transition period, I think, Bob, where many of us, I even, will look at a leaderboard and say, who is that? And I have to go find that person and look them up and find out where they came from, where they go to school. And then I can appreciate their game more and even talk about it more. So if you don't know the player, look them up, because you may have not known who Jackson Koivun was last year, but boy, we sure do now, don't we? As a winner on the PGA Tour. And I think he's going to win a bunch more. I certainly hope he's not one of these guys that comes out and wins and then all of a sudden and it kind of doesn't know what he's so young, he doesn't know how great he really is, and it comes to him. And then all of a sudden he starts thinking about it and trying to do it and then goes into a little bit of a kind of a gray area with the game. I hope that does not happen to him.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing watching a tournament record being set by that young man.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Bob, thank you so very much. And I want to thank some of my Anthem only folks. But before that, I want to thank the Legacy Golf Resort at golflegacyresort.com, one of the great golf courses in the Phoenix area and a longtime sponsor of mine. Folks, the food is fabulous. The staff is amazingly friendly and welcoming. The Legacy Performance Center, headed up by Jeremy Anderson, one of the great young teachers of the game in the country. Right there, just north of Baseline Road, with a beautiful view of the South Mountains here in the Phoenix area. Just north of Baseline on 32nd Street is the Legacy Golf Resort, golflegacyresort.com. You can book your nonprofit and corporate outings right there at golflegacyresort.com. You can contact them, Tony Barton, the general manager, longtime general manager, great friend of mine, a friend of this show. And of course, we created their television advertisements, and I constantly talk about the Legacy Golf Resort, one of my all-time favorites, and I'm sending you there no matter where you're from. And I know a lot of you love to go play the Legacy Golf Resort, golflegacyresort.com. And on the other side of the spectrum, while not a big championship golf course and a big, huge facility like the Legacy Golf Resort is, the Springfield Golf Resort is the best little golf course in Arizona, they say. They're over located on East St. Andrews Boulevard in Chandler, Arizona. They're down there in Chandler, Arizona. You go to Springfield Golf Resort. And why do they say they're the best little course in Arizona? Well, because they are from the Purple Tees. They're a 4,232 yards. So it's a great way to hone your game. They've got a few par fours, but mostly par threes. A lot of fun. You can get in and out on and off the course in about an hour and a half to 2 hours at the outside most, and have a lot of fun and play some great golf and really, really warm up and sharpen those irons of yours out at SpringfieldGolfResort.com. SpringfieldGolfResort.com. Don't forget that. And then Canyon Mesa, my goodness, one of the most beautiful golf courses in Arizona, up in the canyons of Red Rock Country, Sedona, Arizona. I'll be going up there and seeing them next week. We'll be in Sedona for a couple of days on business. I'll certainly stop and see Willie Dark, my friend, the PGA professional, right there at Canyon Mesa Country Club. And it's not a private country club. Don't be fooled by the name. Canyon Mesa Country Club is a 9-hole course, absolutely gorgeous, winding through the Red Rock Canyons in Sedona. You want to make sure you get to Canyon Mesa Country Club right there as you're coming into town off the I-17. You'll come to that roundabout, and there'll be a little sign there, and you're going to swing to your right, and it'll run you right into Canyon Mesa Country Club. And if you go, say to Willie Dark there at the in the golf shop that Ray Adams sent you, and he'll say hi, and he'll certainly treat you right. I can assure you and guarantee you that beautiful place to go play golf. I also want to very quickly thank a few of my favorite companies from the PGA show, PGA merchandise show that I go to every year, and of course was there and shot 31 videos that are all up on my YouTube channel and my LinkedIn and my Instagram and Facebook. So if you want to go to Match Play TV, one word, Match Play TV, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube especially, you're going to see a ton of my television episodes from over the years. You're going to see a lot of videos from the PGA merchandise shows. You'll see a bunch of them from this past PGA show. And these are my favorite products of the PGA show, and I talk about them all year long. One of them is Free Baller. Free Baller. Free Baller, they call it that because you can get free golf balls, and you want to go to freeballer.com. Of course, with the golf course's permission, you're able to take this wonderful instrument that they've created, Greg and Jeff Ruiz, the inventors and owners of Free Baller at freeballer.com, and it has a black light on it. You go into the bushes, and you can pull out so many different golf balls with it on the extension pole, and I thank Free Baller for being a part of that. Now, on the other side of getting free golf balls is when your ball goes in the water, I'm telling you now, you want to get not only your ball out, but maybe you'd like to bring out a few more with it, all in one tool, all in one water weasel retriever. That's right, waterweaselretriever.com. This is it's invented and patented on a wheel. It has a 12-foot reach, and as the wheel turns, as you put the retriever in the water and you pull it back, the wheel turns and the balls are caught in this patent pending device. And the water weasel, it's absolutely wonderful. I love this. We had a fun time with them. It is made in America. And as I said, it has a revolutionary head design for you to be able to get your golf balls. And they say grabbing your balls has never been easier. And of course, we mean your golf balls. A lot of fun. Go to waterweaselretriever.com for a great one there from the PGA show. And in my anthem only segment, who am I thanking? Well, I am thanking the back nine. Back Nine Golf, back9golf.com. You want to go to Back Nine Golf /anthem, and you're going to find that right there in the Safeway parking lot is one of the great, great indoor facilities. They're keeping it at 72 or 73 degrees 24 hours a day, even in the hot, hot weather here in the Phoenix area. Mark and Peggy Podell are the owners of the back9golf.com. And you can write to them, anthem@theback9golf.com, or just go there in the big Safeway shopping center on Anthem Way in Anthem, Arizona, up here in North Phoenix. It is the premium indoor golf experience you would expect. They have memberships available. You have 24-hour-a-day personal access that they give you. You want to go to back9golf.com. I tell you, there's more, and I'll be giving you more on this coming Saturday morning. While you're out and about, if you want a wonderful family-friendly place, you want to go to Homeland Brew Company, homelandbrewco.com. They are a family-friendly. They have the food trucks out. They have a children's playground inside this craft tap room and bottle shop. It is a lot of fun. It's for families, and it's right there on the west side of the I-17 freeway. not far from the Hampton Inn and the Walmart over there. HomelandBrewCo.com. Thank them so very much. Did I say if you want authentic and the best pho noodle Vietnamese pho, you've got to go to this restaurant. I'm telling you, it is absolutely fantastic. The Pho Legends is right there in the Fry's big shopping center here in Anthem, and right across the parking lot from the Chase Bank. You cannot miss them. The food is fabulous. Hand cooked, handmade by a wonderful, wonderful lady and her team from Vietnam. What a great story, and what great food there at Pho Legends. All right, folks, signing off right now. It's a little bit longer show, but what a great one it's been. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you on Great American Golf Show this coming Saturday morning. Have a great week.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.